CliffCentral.com.
Yebo, CliffCentral.com on this Monday morning. So just looking at what you've got there going on the MKT show, there's an important announcement for today. And if you haven't already subscribed, you need to do that ASAP. What is the big announcement? 12 o'clock today, something special.
Yeah, the full feel will be going full on news.
Nice.
Like we're going all new today. So 12 o'clock, you can subscribe Cliff Central Sport.
Nice.
Otherwise, the MKT show podcast. But today, visually today, we are going full on. It'll be something else.
This is not
full frontal nudity.
Absolutely. That's what they're going for. That's their thing on the MKT show. That's Cliff Central Sport.
Unadulterated.
You can subscribe on YouTube. So I know that we're sick about talking about COVID, but this is a really interesting story. Leanne has found a study which finds that COVID-19 is linked to substantial drop in intelligence. No joking. This may be part of the reason that we're tired of hearing about it, because it's making us stupid. Tell us how exactly this works.
Yeah, we've all heard of long-haul COVID and the fact that some people are still affected 2 years after contracting it. You know, some people get over it and have no side effects whatsoever. Yeah. But this is a big study. It's a Lancet Journal e-clinical medicine study.
Right.
With a really substantial amount of people. And it's showing that after measuring a set of tasks to set by people who've either had the disease or not, that those who've had COVID-19 have been affected in terms of their mental health and their cognition. Obviously, we don't know if this is for the long term or not, but we've all heard of something called brain fog that people are experiencing. This is why they've... What's that?
Oh. No, I'm sorry if I'm laughing. I'm just like, okay, now every time I meet someone who's had COVID, I'm going to be like, you dummy.
I know, you're totally going to put them into a bracket. I was very careful with
the
story.
Hello, have you lost some IQ because you had COVID? Hello.
No, come on.
You shouldn't have ever told me this story.
I know. But, you know, it's not everyone. And so, you know what, smoking marijuana reduces our intelligence too, it's heard. But this is a big test. It's something to take part, to take cognizance of. If anything, you know, my initial thought when I saw this was, oh no, it's another ploy by the media or the medical fraternities to get us to have the vaccine.
Hmm.
But this is one of those tests that I think I might take seriously.
Yeah. Well, I've got something you should take seriously. This is a very serious story. Apparently, they're publishing surveys now and reports that, and these are also medical people who are saying this. I'm going to find the exact sources so that I can help you. But basically, farts could be a vector for this too. Ministers in Britain have said that they fear that. Evidence suggests COVID-19 could be spread when an infected person breaks wind in a confined space, such as a toilet, it is reported. No, really. Some UK government ministers have privately expressed concerns that coronavirus could spread through farting. They've claimed that evidence suggests COVID-19 could be spread when an infected person breaks wind. They've revealed the virus can be present in fecal matter. Though the science on whether flatulence could spread COVID is not definitive. One minister who wasn't named told The Telegraph they had read credible-looking stuff from other countries that had been evidence of a genomical linked tracing connection between two individuals from a lavatory cubicle in Australia. There are cases of disease spreading through waste pipes during lockdowns in Hong Kong when a U-bend had dried out. U-bend is, of course, in the toilet. That's the part that keeps the water in the bottom of your loo. They have not produced a paper on the topic. So another minister who was not named in the report said transmission and shedding is mostly taking place through the mouth and actually mainly the nose. But a spokesperson for Boris Johnson said he was not aware of claims that the virus could be spread through flatulence.
I mean, firstly, they're not basing this off of a study, right?
No,
they're just basing it off of a toilet queue.
It's ministers.
You're going to be exposed to much more than farts. And if you're standing in a toilet queue in the public, if you get COVID, it's most likely from touching something or from vapor. So firstly, they're literally speaking crap about that.
Yeah.
Secondly, can you imagine how hard it would be, although would it be, to create a scientific experiment to figure out whether people – and would you take part in that experiment?
The fart
experiment.
Imagine
it was putting your head into a box.
With a fart
like
in
a,
it.
Yeah, or like a rubber condom over your head where all you're exposed to is farts of COVID-infected people. You know, how much would you need to be paid to take part in that study?
I remember last year they made the point that if you're wearing a mask and you can smell a fart, the mask isn't doing its job.
And that's bullshit because you can smell through the fart, through the mask.
Yeah, you can, but that's the point. Like, I think a lot of these substances that we breathe in that you can smell, a lot of the molecules may be significantly bigger than a virus. I mean, you know, in some cases.
Absolutely. I mean,
in some cases.
The fecal matter when someone farts is much larger than something like a virus. Much larger, if you look at it. So, yeah, we're all going to die.
Farts. Just, you know what? If you can't even, if soon they're going to make us wear it, imagine you have to wear an arse mask. And before you go into the shopping center, they check your arse to make sure that you've got a mask on it, just in case you fart. Yeah. How would that even look? How would an arse mask look? And isn't a pair of underpants the same as wearing a cloth-based mask?
Definitely.
For your arsehole?
We're safe with that. I mean, they've already said it's safe to fart in the kitchen if you're wearing cloth. Because those fart molecules will not end up in the food.
Yeah.
Which made me really worry because I always cook naked.
That's right. Yeah, there we go. Good Cop says, good morning, all. I'm glad that Good Cop is saying that. That's very good. If it was Bad Cop that was saying that, we'd be in huge trouble. Tracy says, most people double mask their buttholes, undies and pants, etc. That's a good point.
It's true. We're very protective of those areas.
AdMe Advertising says, Gareth, didn't you say you think you had COVID back in, it wasn't March, it was May. But yeah, that means we should question your decisions since then. Absolutely. Question my decisions every day. Not just because of COVID. It's because I've probably been rapid.
Just because of general things like age, where you're in care.
No, just general cognitive decline. So there we go. The vaccinated have also got brain fog too, apparently, according to Shani. Yeah, that's possible. That's totally possible. Mm. Masks deprive the brain of oxygen. No wonder people have become even more doff, says Andy. butt masks on the way. Oh, wait, pants do the work. Yeah, that's right, Bev. That's exactly right. And then something from the president's speech last night that Uki's referring to here, giving 17 million people 350 rand a month is like giving everybody 10 rand a month and expecting the whole country to be happy and thankful. But that is exactly what they're doing. He's placating.
It is that.
And remember, they also just they postponed the elections to next year, right? So now we've got more time, if we're the ANC, to try and remind people that we're good, even though the last couple of months of bad decision-making have really impacted negatively on the ANC. They see it as a way to keep campaigns going for longer and to campaign harder.
They're waiting for everyone to have been vaccinated, which is the target date is the end of this year, right, December.
Right.
They're waiting for the natural progression of COVID to have moved on, the waves to have subsided. They're waiting for hospitals to recover.
Right.
They're waiting for businesses to recover. They're introducing these tiny little grants here and there, helping a few businesses.
But all of this,
and
what's
then
the
they
end?
Can say, but look what we did.
That's it. The end game is like, we want your vote and look, we've deserved it. Bullshit. I want you to remember.
Damn it.
The way you feel about the ANC now, I want you to remember that when elections roll around, whenever they roll around. This is the most revolting message we've ever received from Andre or anyone else. My coworkers have such bad flatulence, he says, that my tissue is colored brown when I blow my nose.
No, man.
Oh, my God.
That is so disgusting. Oh, my God. Tanya says, remember that time that Sia shat his pants? Any excuse to change the subject? Love. Yeah, thank you. Good
watched a heat sensor video that they'd set up in a shopping center.
That's the greatest.
To pick up people's farts.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how people generally stand still just before they fart, and then they walk off quickly once they've done the fart. It's like, aren't we evolved enough to just do it while we walk? I can. You know, I don't need to stop and then run. Stop, drop, and then run.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're with a bunch of people and you really need to fart? So you move away from them, and then as you fart, like you're far away from the people, so you know it's not going to blow towards them. And then you're standing some distance from them, and then someone comes up and tries to talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you're oh, God, not now. Don't come up and talk to me now. You know, that's worst.
Yeah, that's when I go, I'm sorry, I just farted.
Oh, is that what you say it straight up so they know what they're doing?
Yeah.
And then they stop.
Yeah.
And they the first thing they do is like, oh, God, okay, I've come too close.
I do the same in public loos where someone's waiting for a loo, and I'll go, I wouldn't go in there.
Oh, no. Oh, that's terrible.
That person, yeah.
Yeah. Carl makes a good point. When we vote, we must remember that at one stage we could not buy slops and cooked chicken. Moronic government.
We couldn't even buy mascara.
Exactly. Just remember that stuff when it comes to that time, all right? That's all. Good point. Okay, so a few things that we need to talk about this morning. We mentioned briefly the Olympics, which if you're a big fan of the Olympics, maybe you need to tell us what to look out for, because the Olympics are... there's too much to watch. If you don't know what to look for, it can be overwhelming, and then you miss out on everything. So I need to know what the big events are that I should be looking at. We found out this morning that South Africa is doing really well in swimming again, which is terrific and not surprising, because we always do really well in the sports that are not team sports or that don't have administrators. When you have too many administrators, that sport's inevitably a disaster. And I know that SASCOC are probably right now trying to find ways to ruin even the chances of those athletes who are doing well at the Olympics, because that's what they do. They make it worse. They've never, ever made it better. But let's celebrate those medals that we do get. And let's see if we can find the events that are really worth watching, because I'm sure there are some of those. And Bulela, off the top of your head, like what are the things you're going to be watching at the Olympics? Because it is fun to watch.
Swimming's it's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's the one event where I can get involved in an Albanian swimmer's story and not actually care about the fact that they are Muslim or whatever the media keeps trying to tell me should separate me from them.
Wow,
look at this human being who's from a war-torn country.
Right.
And the Olympics aren't sheltered employment. Like, There is a qualification standard. There isn't you're from a war-torn country. Mm. You can just pop in, pal, and have a good time on TV. So, you know, those stories are always cool. But swimming, you got to watch the swimming. And the really good stuff starting to come up now. Like, the relay stuff's amazing. Australia just blew the ladies out the water. But the swimming's the good stuff. And then we got about 4 or 5 days until actually what you really want to get to is
sprinting.
Let's be honest, it's the track stuff, right? It's the track stuff. The track stuff is the blue ribbon stuff. So that's coming up in about a week. And you can really, really sink your teeth into that. That's enough on its own. That's the Olympics on its own. So if it's your first time, or if what's worth waking up for, by the way, it's at a nightmare hour if you're not an owl or a lunatic like me to try and get up. It's like 2-3 in the morning. So, track. Just watch track. Like, everything else, just catch the highlights. Super Sport's doing a decent job, actually, for the first time in a long time. They've got a nice highlights package. You can watch.
This is really nice. Apparently, surfing and skateboarding are new to the Olympics. That's quite cool.
I hate it.
Why?
I hate inclusivity. Like, the Olympics should be special. Like, what now, Craig, the cool tattoo guy who, I don't need to go to a real school, Brew. We don't need uniform. Is in the Olympics. Keep it out. Keep that
rubbish. What about going with the times, Mbalelo?
Keep that rubbish out. You go skateboard and smoke weed with your friends over there while the real athletes. It's ridiculous. I don't believe in inclusivity. Don't let everyone in.
Okay, so what do you think about, because this has been in the Olympics since the beginning of time, synchronized swimming, for instance.
Phenomenal. No, sophisticated, phenomenal
sport. How is it a sport?
No, because, I mean, that is sort of sophisticated in terms of the sense that the hours that have to go into that for six people to do that in a swimming pool is, that's like 10 years. There's a guy who... Go ahead.
So say there was
it's
one...
It's beautiful to watch. I mean,
one swimmer. One synchronized swimmer. Just realized what I said.
Well, it's a team sport. I mean, that's what makes it interesting
you
to watch.
You can't be synchronized with anyone.
No, exactly.
But imagine there were two synchronized swimmers and then a duet of two skateboarders.
But also remember...
Do you think the synchronized swimmers did more work?
But also remember, that those synchronized swimmers, they have to be... They're treading water the whole time. They have to be at the same height in the water the whole time. It's really, really tough on the body. It's exhausting physically. You know, it's like yoga is really tiring unless you've never done yoga before. You think, oh, please, that looks easy. You're just getting into positions. You know what I mean? It's really tough.
I must tell you, I've started something called hippo yoga.
What is hippo yoga?
Oh, tell me everything. What is hippo yoga?
It's yoga for plus-size people.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Tell me how this
by
works.
By a woman who's created something called hippo yoga.
All right.
Purely because it's, like, difficult to get into certain positions. But you know what? I've seen skinny men battle to get in more to get into positions than I can get into. So it's also for unflexible men.
Right.
And it just kind of starts you like off slowly getting
right
you into these positions. Yeah.
So have you gone for your first class yet?
Well, I have actually.
Nice.
I tested it myself while
Very
I was
good.
Watching it. But it started by a plus-size woman, and I just like the way she embraced the fact that people were going to be saying, oh, you look like a hippo, and she just took that on. So she uses a hippo icon and everything.
That's great. But that's so clever because, you know, again, you're using a word that is pejorative and mean, and you're turning it into something that you own and you use to your advantage. I think it's great. Mm. I mean, like, listen, my mother goes for yoga, I think, two or three times a week, and she loves it. And I always used to think, this is silly. Well, over this weekend, we had at this birthday, we had someone giving a yoga class, and I thought, how hard could it be? Well, I was the worst person in the class. I was the most useless. I couldn't get into half the positions, and afterwards I felt like I'd been pretzeled. Like I felt my knees, my legs, my arms, everything was sore. It's bloody amazing.
I'm just proud that you took part and you weren't belligerent.
I wasn't belligerent.
Have you ever been to a yoga class before?
No.
Like one of the proper
ones? No, never
ever. Okay, Gareth, you've just broken every rule. Remember, it's not a competition.
No, I know.
It is about you. And that's how they talk.
And this girl, Kerry, who did it, was really, really good. She knows what she's doing. She's like, you know, there were a couple of people in the session who were very practiced. But obviously, I see everything as a competition. And if I can't win it, then I don't take part. But I did this one. And I'm kind of pleased I did. It's amazing. I have a respect now for people who can do that stuff. And I said to my mom, I said, Jesus, I didn't realize you were doing this two, three times a week. It's phenomenal.
Check out Yoga with Adrian. You can do that at home on your own. It's on YouTube. If you want to get into it. Yoga with Adrian. She's brilliant.
I don't think I'm going to get into it, but I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I have some understanding of it. It's not going to be something that I carry on, so don't worry about that. We're not going to be turning this morning show into a discussion of yoga every day, I promise.
Just to get to the skateboarding, Tracy in the comments
yes.
said something for Mbulelo, which is something that I would have probably asked.
Well, she says, skateboarding, geez, the hours those people put in, next level skill. How does he feel about snowboarding at the Winter Olympics? Same thing.
Snowboarding's very nature is elitist anyway. My problem with this, no, it is. It costs an absolute fortune. I worked in that world. That's a completely different world. It's unapologetically exclusive. Skateboarding, the Olympics was always about, we're not going to exclude anybody who can't afford to be here. It's, are you good enough to be here post 1896 is always my problem with surfing and these sports. Even rowing, I've kind of always been on the edge with, is that, it's always been, are you good enough? You can come. If money's the thing, then that's a problem. But winter, so Look, I've been to both X Games as well, so people mustn't think these things.
Jared's just summarizing your point. Tracy, he's fine with snowboarding because he snowboards. That's what Jared says. And well, he's right. There we go. There's no other way. You don't need to discuss it further.
That's exactly why I mentioned it, because I knew.
Yeah.
And I'm bloody good at it as well. So,
right, like, fine.
Also,
fair enough.
Not leave that out. I am bloody good. Jumped out of a heliboard. No, a helicopter, no problem.
So Tanya says, I would rather have you talk about yoga than coronavirus. Yeah, good point.
All right. Namaste.
Dud says, Bulelo, professional surfing is not like it was back in the 60s and 70s. There are athletes that put a lot of time into the craft with discipline, healthy living, and training. I mean, I've watched videos on YouTube of people surfing. You know, those big waves in places like Hawaii. And it's amazing, dude. Don't tell me that isn't a sport. That is a sport. Anything that you have to be fit for is a sport. I always say that those sports that you... If you can be a lazy slob and you can do it, it's not a sport. Like, darts isn't a sport. You know what I mean? Chess is not a sport. But surfing, you can't be a big, heavy person or a lazy slob or someone who doesn't like to move around a lot and get on a surfboard and do proper things. You have to be good. You have to be fit. I reckon that surfing deserves its place in the Olympics, and skateboarding, frankly. I know skateboarding, you know, there are people who could pull tricks and things in skateboards that require years and years of practice. I'm with Tracy on that. Mm. Screw you, Mbulelo. Mm.
Up yours, okay. Mbulelo.
Up yours, Mbulelo. Yeah, right up there. Son of a bitch.
My feelings are hurt tonight. Right. I don't know where to go now.
Someone made a comment earlier about gymnastics, and that is interesting to watch. Because, my God. Here we go. Eleutheria says, it's the only time I get to watch gymnastics, and now my kids even say, wow, you have to be really strong to do that. That is amazing. Those people on the horse and the rings, and it's phenomenal.
You know, I watched a montage of a woman who was taking part in the Olympics. She's 46 or 49, I just can't remember. She has competed in the Olympics since she was 16 years old, every time.
Fine.
And she's still doing it. And considering that you are basically expired when you're a gymnast and you start to grow, which is in your 20s, you're done for. But she's in her late 40s and she is competing in this year's Olympics. It's just amazing.
Listen. You know who doesn't get enough credit is the cameramen and women for the floor exercise have never missed a shot. By the way, no one gives them enough pub. They nail it every time. It's probably one of the better produced sports in the world, actually. They really do put it together sensationally. Shout out Simone Biles. She's the size of a tin can, but she will do a quadruple backflip and land right in the corner.
What's her name? Biles.
I love gymnastics. Biles.
Biles.
B-I-L-E-S. Yeah, you've seen her, tiny.
Who is she?
Small, tiny black girl.
What country
you
is she from?
Seen her. She's America.
And she is. Yeah. She's a gymnast, right?
Oh, the. Okay. She's starting to get up into that echelon.
She's the one who could emerge with like 9 gold medals at the end of this, making her the most prolific medal winner of all time. That's her. That's Simone Biles.
Yeah, okay. So she'll start to get into a Phelps echelon. Wow. Although in gymnastics, they're already calling her the one.
That's phenomenal. Awesome. I mean, again, she probably started that at age 4 or whatever. You know, you just that's a lifelong thing. And I must tell you, these gymnasts, those bodies, those women and men who are gymnasts have the finest bodies in the world. They have muscles where we don't even know we have anything. And they're able to do things with their bodies, like stand on their hands and their heads and their fingers. They can do cartwheels. They can do somersaults in the middle of the air. They can jump. They can run. They can flip backwards. It's just absolutely incredible. It makes me feel like I'm made of stone when I watch them. I feel like I weigh 300 kilograms and I can do nothing with my body.
Like an old plasterine figurine.
Yes.
That's starting to dry out.
Jesus. Unreal.
Have you ever worked out on rings before?
No.
Like
I do that on Mondays.
What do you think? What kind of a question is that? What do you think? I've got like rings hanging from the ceiling in my house. Let me go and do some training. You know.
I mean, I know you live in the sort of 1840s Centurion or Pretoria, but there are rings and gyms, you know, in sophisticated northern suburbs of Joburg.
Well, I've never seen rings in the gym.
Have you seen how easy, like to your point, how easy they make that look?
Oh,
that,
dude.
I imagine, by the way, you, like, I once tried to, like, hold up, like, for, like, 5 seconds, like, be parallel. It is what I imagine giving birth feels like on the shoulders. That is what that felt like, and they are not human, and it's awesome, and I will watch it. I will get up at 3 a.m. to watch these guys from Serbia go and crack it. I'm going to do it.
Well, I mean, Eleutheria says here, for example, they can hold the splits while walking on their hands.
It's so just great. One of those sports that you can watch, the Olympics, that feels like it has very little political ties to it. And like you say, Mbulelo, how much money you have in a country to play with the sport. It feels like raw natural talent. And it's very hard to not feel proud no matter who you're watching perform these sports, these elite world sportsmen.
Well, yeah, which is why I took exception to our favorite EFF, what's her name, Ndlozi or whatever, on social media. I had to jump in there saying that our team was too white.
Oh,
so I was like, no, Chief. Listen here, pal. You know what? We do have problems of the past, so we can't keep crying wolf. There is problems with that, and we are, as South Africans, trying to acknowledge those. I think any reasonable South African, regardless of your color, is we're all in on systems to give access, right? But the thing about the Olympics is it's not like being in the EFF or the ANC. It's not just come and play because I know your cousin.
Yeah.
There's a qualifying mark.
Yeah.
So they don't. It's not. You can't. Okay. What would the theory be? Johan Rupert can't pay for his niece to go to the Olympics. That's not how it works.
Yeah, but you see that this is a riddled, diseased mind of a socialist, and I'm not going to go down this path, not on a Monday morning. But I do want to comment on this before we get to Collectomania. This is the uniform that the guys are wearing, and it's getting a lot of heat on social media. So I mean, it's all zebra stripes and I don't know, there's like leopard, I don't know what's in there, but it's pretty horrible. That's the South African team, and I think that was also the photograph that Buyisen Ndlozi was complaining about, because there seemed to be too few black faces, according to him. There's even someone Asian in there, and I mean, so what? If those are all South Africans and they're good at what they do, so what, dude? Like, let's have more. Let's have the biggest team. Let's have the biggest team at the Olympics, because we're just amazing people who can do amazing things with our bodies. Douchebag. But you're saying Ndlozi's really got to shut up sometimes. Anyway, people are complaining about this uniform, and I have to give credit to someone who I really don't like and someone who doesn't say anything funny 99% of the time, but this was funny. Chester Missing, who someone forwarded me, like a funny meme. Chester Missing put that photograph up and said something about, I didn't know that AfriForum got the tender to design the uniforms for our Olympic team. And I thought that was pretty funny, even for Chester Missing. So credit is due.
They're wearing veldskoene as well. And also like the classic sort of lacquer shorts, you know?
Nice.
Like, you know when I say lacquer shorts, you know what
short
I mean.
Shorts,
I don't want to be that guy,
short,
but
short
I am
shorts,
that guy. Yeah.
This has been the biggest misconception. And I wish that it did show, that picture did show the veldskoene. So social media was buzzing specifically about the veldskoene and the khaki short. But the veldskoene, despite its name, actually comes from, and I'm certainly not defending anything here, guys. I'm just giving you the facts. Veldskoene actually come from the Khoisan culture. So that's who made them initially.
Really?
And that, yes, they are not European in nature.
But even if they were, so
they
what?
They don't come.
This is a very South African thing.
Even though they don't. It's interesting to me because I didn't know. I always thought veldskoene were Afrikaner or Dutch settler culture.
Yeah.
But they were actually, they were made more than 400 years ago.
Well,
by the Khoisan people.
Well, good.
You're welcome. My grandfather was Khoisan on my closest side. So,
there we go.
I mean, right. here we go again. We give you Nelson Mandela.
Thank you,
Mbulelo. We give you Veldtskoen.
Thank you, Mbulelo.
I may be perfect.
Right. Okay.
You maybe Khaluma Motlanthe as my Bedi side. I mean, am I the perfect human being? That's something we need to discuss later this week.
Tony says that they got the kit from Investec. This is so funny. They look like German tourists, says MB. And Lenise says those shorts are called the Vasio Fleisbrookie. That's what they call them.
Oh,
love it.
Yeah.
And the shoe people who made these are actually from a company called Veldtskoen.
Nice.
And Ashton Kutcher and Mark Cuban are investors in the brand.
Great. Well, then maybe we should be as proud of them as investors are about putting their money into it. Right?
Sure.
Anyway, stupid South Africans who complain about everything. Let's stop doing that, please. And let's just enjoy the Olympics. And let's see if we can get some medals and not worry about the color of the person who's getting the medals because they're South African. And they'll be bringing it back here and giving us some long sought after glory. How about that? That would be great. So, on that positive note, because I do think that the Olympics are a positive note, let's move on to something else that's really exciting, and it's part of what makes Monday great for me. I love it because I'm a collector. Maybe you love it too for that reason. This morning, we're continuing our weekly dose of Collectomania. We're talking to some compulsive collectors in South Africa. It's brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And we've got Matthew Alford on, and Matthew sent me this email. He said, I've been enjoying the Collectomania segment. I thought it was a good time to share my own collection with you. I collect Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They were obviously a massive part of growing up in the 90s, and I still have my original action figures from that time. Then in 2013, the toy company Playmates did a revised collector's edition of the four turtles, and it was from that purchase that the collector bug was ignited in me, and my nostalgic love for everything TMNT was revived. That's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Since then, it's been a joyous, sometimes stressful pursuit of the latest version that's being released. Everything from ordering special editions from Japan, to finding people on eBay, to attend San Diego Comic-Con, to grab the latest con exclusive. It's all part of the fun. And we're joined this morning by Matthew Alford. Hey, Matthew. How are you doing, bro?
Hey, hey, Gareth. Hey, morning, team.
Morning. Good to see you, and I'm glad that you decided to share this very embarrassing collection of yours. No, I'm joking. some people would say my collections are embarrassing, but this is a very niched area. I mean, we had my brother on a while ago who collects action figures too, and he has Star Wars and He-Man. You have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know which one is better or worse. But you guys have a lot of things in common in terms of like trying to get Comic-Con San Diego specials and that kind of thing. So you've explained in the email how it all started, but like how deep into it are you? Like how much of a collector are you, Matthew?
The pocket gets quite light quite quickly just with all these new versions that start coming out, especially with all the different companies that I follow that, you know, that make these figures. There's right. this awesome company called NECA, which just keeps releasing new versions and new figures. And the horrible but also awesome part about it is that they're now releasing the bad guys or the side characters or whatever. So it's expanded beyond the Green Turtles into all the, you know, the side characters.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, that's really cool. So, I mean, how big is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle universe? Because if you look at Star Wars, there are a million characters. I think it's slightly smaller in the TMNT world, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you go back to like how it originally started, like Playmates, the toy company, they got the license from the original comic book. Mm-hmm. And then it was, they wanted to make toys of this comic book. So they commissioned the TV show in order to sell the toys. So then in order to sell more toys, they just had the creators making more and more bad guys and so and so and more and more characters every month. So that's, oh, let's sell some more to the kids. They'll sell some more. So we need, you know, Pizza Face or Upchuck Chuck or something, you know, these random characters. So there might not be like a random pilot from the Star Wars era that George Lucas wants to cash in on, but, you know, there's the expansive universe over there. But then also every couple of years, they reboot the series. So there's like the 2003 version, then the 2012 version, and the 2017 version. Then the collector in me goes, oh, God, now I've got to get this version, and I've got to get four of them. I can't just get the one. I've got to get all four.
Where do you draw the line? Sorry, Leanne, where do you draw the line with this stuff? Because that's always something collectors have to establish for themselves, like Dr. Hanan was talking to us earlier about, like drawing the line with people talking about COVID. But you can't just buy everything. You'll go crazy.
No. I've had to be quite disciplined with that, especially with my limited space with collecting. So I've got to just imagine my wife's face when a new one arrives from eBay or something, and she's like, well, where's that going to go?
Wait, you're married.
Yes.
You're married. You have this collection.
Of course. You know, Mbalila, I'm not a small woman.
You're married?
Yeah, it's right there, see?
Wow. No, you're a legend. I need to send me notes, bro. To be able to hold the collection and a marriage, good for you, man.
Yes.
But what I want to know is because in my mind, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I was a huge fan, obviously I only got onto it when it was popularized in the TV series as a young kid. But that's where it lives and ends in my mind. What's going on that I don't know about as a general consumer about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and what's still being pushed out to the public that would keep you aware, and new kids have never been exposed to it before, wanting to collect action figures?
Well, it's mainly the TV shows, right, Leanne? So, like, Nickelodeon bought it, or Viacom, who owns Nickelodeon, they bought the rights from Peter Laird, I think for $60 million to own the property, and so they're wanting to get it out to a new generation of kids and stuff. So every time they reboot the series, there'll be a new version of the toys that come out, and then, you know, Toys R Us, or the ones that still are around, will pump out some toys and that sort of thing. But obviously, it started with that core 1980s, early 90s version, which is that's a lot of the people who are actually buying the toys still. I mean, Jesus, the community, just like the Star Wars community and the He-Man community, like they're so anal, and they like, oh, I hate this new version. It's not true to our original that we what used to watch. It's like, bro, you know, you were 8 when that came out. Like, just chill.
Yeah.
Right.
Look how Barbie's changed, for instance, you know?
Yeah. But
it becomes this
game where the manufacturers also have to keep you interested, because if they don't keep you interested and they don't bring out something new every now and then, and it doesn't hit the sweet spot, then collectors aren't going to keep collecting, and they're going to lose money. So it's quite Machiavellian. They actually have to sit there and figure out, like, how are we going to get these people to part with their money? I mean, it sounds so cynical. So talk us through some of these quickly. What is this drawing here?
Ah, that is one of my best. So that's when the creators, Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, were first kind of throwing ideas around. They were just sketching things, and this is the very first sketch that Kevin Eastman drew, like, just had this crazy idea, like, what's the slowest sort of animal we can make look funny? Oh, let's throw some ninja stuff on him.
Right.
And then they sketch this thing out, whatever.
So,
and then
so is this, it's, this is an original drawing of the creator putting the idea into action. This is like one of the first ever Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that was ever devised by a human being, and it led to the whole franchise.
Yes.
So it's like the genesis. What we're seeing here is the birth of an idea.
Exactly. Okay. That's the first turtle. It's actually called the first turtle.
Awesome.
Is that the what was his name? The Master, the Rat?
Splinter.
It looks like Splinter. Is that a reflection of Splinter on his stomach?
No, it's his paw.
I don't think so.
It's his paw.
Yeah.
It's his turtle paw.
It's my mushrooms day.
Okay. Clearly. All right. Talk us through, because I mean that's you don't have the original, but you've got a version of that, right?
Oh, well, I've got, so I don't know if you can see this. So I bought the figure of the actual sketch.
That's pretty amazing. Let me just put that up on full screen and you can show us. That's amazing. So that's a version of that original sketch that's been made into it's a sculpture. That's what that is.
Cool. So this is one of my favorites. So this you can't even find online anymore. And
do you have kids? Yes.
No ways. They would touch all my toys. Hell no.
Yeah, if you have... if you had kids, that would be broken, and then you'd be very upset. That's what would happen. I'm predicting the future here.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I mean,
hell no. In the Lego movie where Will Ferrell's kid comes in and says like, "Oh, daddy, can I play?" It's like, "No, this is daddy's things." Like, yes, that's how I would be.
So Matthew, a lot of people think I was hating on you when I said I was shocked that you were married, as though you're a nerd about it. That I was saying no. Props to you for being able to have both. A lot of people are saying, I'm a nerdy kind of person myself. I don't hate nerds. This is amazing.
All right.
Yes. And my wife's name is Leanne too. So, you know, connection.
Okay. Oh, there we go. So talk us through, what is this here? This is also like a sculpture version of the four turtles. And let's just go back. They're Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello. Michelangelo.
Oh, you're so close. Michelangelo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michelangelo. That's right.
Four great Renaissance artists. That's the only way I remember them. Okay, so what is this thing here that we're looking at? I'll explain it to people who are listening.
So this is an incredible statue of the four turtles. Well, they're four separate statues. They're made by a Japanese company called the Good Smile Company. They're non-movable or anything. They're just obviously statues, but they're high-end, super high-end. They cost me a pretty penny to get, and you would buy them individually. So they're just they're awesome action poses, and they're actually based off an artwork of this exact kind of pose. So
all right,
those are individual
statues,
pieces, yeah. Right? Four.
Yeah.
But they're sitting on a base of this marble-esque looking sewer stage.
So that's like their platform, whatever they stand on, because if they didn't have that, they'd probably topple over.
All right,
like most of these figures do. I have the West stands.
So four of the turtles. I just want you to remind us quickly, how do you know which one is which? The one's red, the one's purple, the one's blue, the one's orange, in terms of their clothing.
Yes, it's by their weapons and their colors, obviously. So, and then they introduce them in the TV show. Just a fun fact: the initial comic book, they were all red, but then when they made them into toys and made them into a kids' TV show, they said, "No, we have to be able to differentiate between them, so we'll change the colors." So, purple Donatello, red is Raphael, blue Leonardo the leader, and then orange is Michelangelo the party dude.
So, is Leonardo the boss?
Yeah, he's the leader. Okay. And actually, in the latest series on Nickelodeon, they changed the two Raphael to be the leader. And like I said earlier, the outcry
people
from the community is like, "That's just ridiculous! Leonardo is our leader." And
nerds are just impossible to please. All right, is this is this part of your collection that we're looking at now?
This is
we got six shelves full of figures of all kinds. I see you've even got those little. What do they call those things with the big heads that you buy now? These pop. That's it. Those pops.
Yeah, Funko Pops.
Funko Pops.
Those are lethal. Never stop collecting those because you will never ever stop. So
they've got versions of those of everything, like your favorite bands, celebrities, presidents. Mm. They've got everything.
Yeah, so it's a dark hole to go down. But yes, this is the core group that I brought through when we moved to London recently. So I've got a whole bunch that are still in storage in Joburg, but this is the allowable space that Leanne said I could have in the house.
Okay. So you had to.
So this is the compromise.
It probably took you like months to decide which ones you were going to have in London with you and which ones you'd have to put into storage. And you probably cry at night. You probably lie in bed thinking about those ones that are in storage, feeling terrible, right?
Oh, they're still being kept warm. Yeah.
Toy Story is one of my favorite movies, so I always think, oh, shame, they're all in that dark box and they can't get out and they can't.
Okay. All right, what is this going on here? We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with a beautiful background of like a tropical island, and you can see beach sand, and they're standing on what's probably, you know, a table on the beach. What is going on here?
I think the core collector might hate on me for this because, you know, people that collect in don't open the boxes and that sort of stuff. But this is one of the best parts of my collecting is I'll take them on trips with us. So
your wife,
don't judge too hard.
Your wife puts up with a lot.
That's what I'm saying. This guy's a genius. You are a living legend, bro. The fact that you've got your beautiful wife and you're still living this lifestyle, you're a legend of the game, bro. You're a legend of the game. You must write a book.
So in your luggage, in your luggage, as an adult man, you've got all four turtles.
Yeah, definitely. And it's sometimes when the airport security has a look in there, there's like this side look, like, what? Where's the kids? Like, what's going on? Oh, these are yours. Oh, okay, all right, we've gone through.
All right.
But this is actually on my honeymoon, so this is in the Maldives.
Oh, wow.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
And like I said, your wife's a very,
very cool.
She puts up with a lot. That's incredible. Okay. So we've got turtles going on honeymoon with you. Where is this turtle at the Colosseum? This is Michelangelo, right?
Yes, exactly, right.
I love the expression on this toy's face, because he's like got this really cheeky grin as well. And you put him up on a railing right next to the Colosseum in Rome. So that's pretty cool there. I just love the fact that these even travel with you.
Mm. Yeah, it's such a fun thing to do. I'm more stressed about them breaking in the suitcase, so they're like got padding around them and whatever. Oh,
wow, it's a whole thing with you. It's pretty wild, dude. That's very cool.
It's collectomania.
It really is. Yeah, it is collectomania. Yes. I love it. Well, listen, Matthew, I'm just thrilled that you could share this with us, because there are many people.
Thank you, guys.
Many people who collect things and they never tell the rest of the world about it, and I feel like collections need to be shared. You know, that's why museums exist. And even if it's something like action figures or books or whatever it is, and you think, well, this is very niche, a lot of people don't care, you'd be surprised at the communities that exist. I'm sure you're part of all of these online groups where people share like information about the different collections that they have, and you've got super collectors, you've got, you know, houses full of this stuff, and people who spend all their money on them. If you go deep enough, it's pretty wild.
It is. And these groups get all consuming sometimes. Like, I had to actually just mute a few of them, because that just became my Facebook just became TMNT. It was just people discussing and selling figures and whinging about this or that and being excited or this latest customization or so.
That's very, very cool. I love it, and I'm glad that you got to share it with us this morning. Thanks very much, dude.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you,
Sure. Tim. What awesome. A pleasure. It's really good to meet you. So there's Matthew Alford and his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle collection. Pretty, pretty cool. I love it. And pretty cool as what is his name? Larry David.
Larry David. Says.
All right. So Rebellious Ruth says, I had the He-Man collection, He-Man and his gang of girls. Bobby would just watch. See, that's good. Yeah. I love this. You know what? Good Stuff says, it's great to see someone collecting and nerding out, not drinking or committing adultery, and that's why she puts up with him. Yeah, you see him, Bulelo.
Shut up.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, I saw that comment, and I thought that might be something to consider. Get someone who's like married to physics, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you never need to worry about where they are, what
but you know what
they're
it's
doing.
So,
you know it.
It's so important. It's also so important for people to have hobbies. There's nothing more sad than someone who doesn't have a hobby, especially if they get older and, you know, the kids move out of the house and they don't have anything to do. It's very, very scary to watch people descend into loneliness and purposelessness. These things give people purpose. I mean, I know in my world, if I didn't collect things, if I didn't do stuff, if I didn't have hobbies – I'd go crazy.
You know, what's quite really I loved about Matthew's collection was, you know, as we get older, is that we forget to like keep playing. We're still people that can have fun. It's like, I don't know. I didn't get to ask him. I'm sure it still gives him
we
that
can bring
feeling
him back.
Of
he's
when I was.
He's still here. Hang on. There's Matthew. What do you want to ask him?
Oh, Matthew. Yeah. No. So Matthew, I was just saying, besides you having to write the OG book of how to actually be an OG out here and keep a collection and a lovely wife, but also does this collection like connect you to, you know, everyone's best time if you had the upbringing I had was between 6 and 10, I would say, probably for me. It's just like, I have no responsibilities. I'm going to rage as soon as I get home and I'm going to have the best time of my life. Does this connect
you don't
you
have
to that
hormones time? Distracting you.
Oh,
you're just playing games.
Get that PlayStation on, get a tennis racket. I'm definitely pushing my sister in the pool or whatever, you know, I'm raging. But for you, does it connect you to sort of that best time or a better time in my eyes at all? Or was it just you're into it.
No, definitely, Malelo. It's 100% that. Like I see, like I always joke with my best friend here because he's a huge Star Wars collector. So it's like we say, like, we're Peter Pan almost, you know, like we're so connected to that youth, yeah, or whatever. Like we like to go with cosplay to the Comic Con, or I've got the PS3, 4, and 5. No space for children's toys here. It's like
I love it, dude. Just quickly, there's someone else who has someone else has a question here, and then I will let you go, I promise. But Tracy says, do you have an Instagram account for your travels with the turtles? Because that would be something people might want to follow.
It is, yeah. It's traveling Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Traveling Mutant Ninja Turtles. There we go. Very good.
Yes, yes.
So if you want, if
Gary, keep me on. I don't mind being like Jasmine Jagger or whatever, that you call back, whatever.
Okay, chill. Yeah. You can chill.
Jasmine
you can chill
Jagger.
With us. She was great. Jasmine was fun. We're going to get her back. Don't you worry. Yeah, dude. So what are you doing in London while we're talking to you? Did you move there? You've emigrated?
Yes. Yeah, we moved in 2019. And just like Leanne was talking about earlier, the heat wave has been just destructive on our being here. It's
But aren't you used to it because you're South African? You're used to the heat. They're not used to the heat there.
I am, and I've become that person I used to laugh at, going like, ugh, stupid Londoners talking about it's hot there, whatever, what do they know? But it's the humidity here that's quite something as well. And just because you're sitting in these hot boxes that have no aircon and they're not built for the hot weather. But having a lovely time here. We live just down the road from the Wimbledon Stadium, and we got to go to that 2 weeks ago or whenever that was. So it's, you know. I forgot to take the turtles there, though. I forgot.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. So you moved at the right time of life, sir.
Sorrel has a very personal question. He says, did the toys watch you while you were on honeymoon?
I had to do a little bit of a,
turn them around.
Yeah.
Get them to go back into their shells. Oh my God, that's funny.
Exactly. But London, it's like you said, Leanne, we left at a weird time, but a good time. We got here just off before Corona and everything happened. And then, you know, like March, we're getting ready to build up to spring and summer. And then, you know, Boris Johnson comes out, got a lockdown, and
close everything. How are the English coping? Because South Africans are pretty tough people. I'm not going to say we're tougher or we're less tough or whatever, but we're kind of resilient, and we've had riots and all kinds of shit here as well. And people are mostly, I think, keeping it together. I mean, there are lots of people just have to because it's about survival. But what are the English like? Because I know they can be a bit soft sometimes. They can complain quite a lot. They like to have comfort and organization around them 24/7. How are they handling all of these coronavirus? It was meant to be Freedom Day last Monday, right?
Don't even get me started on Freedom Day. I don't know. The British seem to love their rules, like you guys have spoken about before, and they get comfort in their rules. Like, I think us rebellious South Africans, we're so used to the government's rules and being like, whatever, I'll just do what I need to get by. So here it's very, like, just, you know, if it says masks, everybody wears the masks. But it's just, come on now. Like, we've had Freedom Day. You don't have to wear a mask inside the shops, but now people still are. So, but anyway, that's their choice, and they do what they wish. As long as I don't have to, I'm not getting forced to do something I don't have to do. But they're scared. Hey, I think that Sky News is the fear monger that just whips up a frenzy.
I love this. Your wife has joined in the chat. She says, yes, he's married to me. I absolutely love my nerd. There we go. I love that. So she loves you. Nice. That's even more amazing, right, Mbulelo?
Oh man, you're an OG, bro. I can't say it enough.
I don't see her in the chat. I feel left out.
Dean says TMNT rule. Way more awesome than Jedi's and shit. Stop dissing on Matthew. He probably has more than one wife.
Shout out, Dean.
Nice. That's very good.
Thanks, man. Thanks. It. Cheers. Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, gosh.
All right,
yeah,
dude.
It's a fun thing to do. I'll never do it.
Well, it is 8 o'clock. Thank you for making our Monday that much more fun. And keep collecting. What can I tell you? It's just the coolest thing. And you know, if Jeff Bezos wants to pay for rockets to go to space and you want to buy turtles with your money, That's entirely perfect. I don't imagine humanity would be any better off if we were all spending money on the same things. I love it.
Yes, cheers, man. I'm glad I didn't have the JJ Cornish audio curse. So
no,
yes.
You did well this time. You were great today. Thank you so much, Matthew Alford. And thank that you, is sir. Collectomania, which is of course brought to you by SA Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can also collect amazing stuff from them, and stuff which I think will increase in value because the world is such a crazy place. Some people put their trust in gold, and so far they've been found to be among the smartest people. So you might want to do that. Gather up some of those them coins, and silver and gold is what they do. So maybe those are the guys you need to talk to this week. All right, very good. Oki says the Olympic men's mountain biking cross country is about to start. Watch it. You know you want to. Okay. All right.
Those guys are animals. Well, you talk about fit.
Hey, I'm
animals.
I said I'm keen on the Olympics this time around. I might actually watch it, and I don't have to see those annoying spectators. I can just watch the actual sport. Excellent.
Oh, my God.
We will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have an excellent Monday. Cheers, everybody. Be good.
CliffCentral.com